Matthew chapter 22, and this afternoon I'm going to seek to try to accomplish two things. One is I do want to spend some time on missions, because you see, if we're not careful, as we talk about the return of Christ, we can begin to think that the end result is that we just need to understand that the Lord is coming and coming soon. And I think the evidence is overwhelming that we're living in the last days. But I think the Bible expects more from us than that. And I believe that the Bible expects us to not only be in tune with the fact that we are living in the last days, but then how do we use it in a practical way? And so I think that's what drives me to speak of missions. And as we put the PowerPoint up on that, let's read Matthew chapter 22. It's a parable. It's a story. Verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke unto them again by the parable and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who makes a marriage for his son. Sound familiar? I think God is preparing a marriage for his son, Jesus Christ. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And they would not come. Can you imagine being invited to a wedding in heaven and not wanting to come? Wow. And again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them who are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one of his farm and another to his merchandise. The remnant took his servants, treated them shamefully, and slew them. Not only did they refuse to come, but they abused those that were telling. You want to know something? If you really believe that Christ is coming, and if you're not afraid to admit it, you watch what people will say about you. Everything from being unbalanced to being either insane or incompetent. Does that really matter what they say? But when the king heard of it, verse 7, he was angry and sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they who are bidden were not worthy. Go therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servant went out to the highways and gathered them together, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. The responsibility of living this day and time. On here you'll see something that we call the urgencies of missions. And what I'd like to do, I've decided that I'm going to pay each of your way to fly with me around the world. Do you like to fly? I meant to tell you to bring your passports, but we'll do this one without a passport. But here we go. Milk and Honey is involved in a number of countries, and everyone's always saying, you know, what's your favorite country? And it's whatever country I'm in. So we'll just take a look at some of these, but let's take a look at the next slide. This one is a project that we just finished in China. As you know, the Olympics were going on. And we decided about 4 or 5 years ago, working with Brian and Joy Ford, whom I know you're familiar with him. But we started a little project where we want to do 100,000 Bibles for the Olympics. We put them in gold covers. And once we saw that was going to go, we said, wow, you know, we have time. We ought to do a little bit more. So we did a million tracts, all printed in gold. But the Bibles, you see, the Olympics started on August the 8th. So that's the eighth month, the eighth day in the year 2000. Eight's a lucky number in China. And they're in 8 different cities. And so we actually had warehouses in all 8 cities and had Bible stored in all 8 cities. And our big day was the marathon, because there were thousands of people lining there. And there's no way they can monitor thousands of people. And literally hundreds of Bibles, thousands of Bibles, well, 100,000 Bibles went out. Then a million tracts. Can you imagine giving out a million tracts? And here's what excites me, because you see, they say that in China, they say that for every Bible that goes out, they think that 1,000 people come to Christ. Now, maybe they're wrong. Maybe it's only 100. But I cannot think of anything better to do than to give out 100,000 Bibles, even if there's only 10 people that come to Christ from every one. And even if there was one person that came out of 100,000 Bibles, that would be worth it, wouldn't it? And so I don't mind telling you, I never cities. And so we actually had warehouses in all eight cities and had Bible stored in all eight cities. And our big day was the marathon because there were thousands of people lining there, and there's no way they can monitor thousands of people. And literally hundreds of Bibles, thousands of Bibles, well, 100,000 Bibles went out. Then 1 million tracts. Can you imagine giving out 1 million tracts? And here's what excites me, because you see, they say that in China, they say that for every Bible that goes out, they think that 1,000 people come to Christ. Now, maybe they're wrong. Maybe it's only 100. But I cannot think of anything better to do than to give out 100,000 Bibles, even if there's only 10 people that come to Christ from every one. And even if there was one person that came out of 100,000 Bibles, that would be worth it, wouldn't it? And so I don't mind telling you, I never enjoyed Olympics any more than I enjoyed this one. But continue to pray. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that anyone who doesn't read one of those Bibles will give it away or sell it. That's okay with me. I just want that Bible to be read. So continue to pray for the Olympics. Next one. This is Brian and Joy Ford. And they're working with the Emmaus courses now, beginning a whole new project of launching the Emmaus courses into mainland China. It's a tremendous project, and but be praying for them. Brian is in China at this very hour, meeting in some cities on the Emmaus course project. Next one. This is a new area, a new floor of the warehouse, and that's being converted into a place to stay. So if you're ever over there and want to be a mule, I know some of you have done this, to haul Bibles back and forth, our literature back and forth, there's a place to stay. Next one. Silas So, some of you might know him. He's a tremendous evangelist. And our goal this year is to go through 1 million tracts a month. And this guy, he's a machine when it comes to handing out tracts. Okay, he does what very few people have the nerve to do. But pray with us. I'd like to see 1 million tracts a month going to mainland China. And this dear brother is part of that project. Next one. Romania. I know, again, you've been to Romania. This is Brother Martin. He's really a hillbilly from Tennessee. But he's married to a Romanian lady, and he works among the gypsies. And so here he is giving a little boy some bread. And wow, there are so many heart-wrenching stories in Romania, and you know these. I'm talking to the choir, but I just want to remind you to continue to pray for them, because there's some encouraging things in spite of the situation in that country. Next one. Some food and so on being handed out. And next one. Bolivia. Gabe and Carrie Meyer. Bolivia is undergoing tremendous political turmoil. I'm sure you're aware of that. We tried to fly down not too long ago, and we couldn't even get into the airport. And Gabe, I think, spent 2 weeks trying to get out of there. The school has about 200 students, and the government is trying to take away every Christian school there. My passion is to see a Christian curriculum introduced there, because this school is really an evangelistic tool. Some of our schools are not evangelistic. In other words, those who enroll are believers, but this is one that's aimed at sowing the seed. So pray for Gabe and Carrie and those working there in Bolivia. Next one. Another work that we just started is in Sudan. And actually, the work in Sudan, I've never been there. I'm a principal of a school there, and I've never been there. But we're working with the Sudanese in Cairo, Egypt. I just was in Cairo. And at this particular visit, go to the next slide. It's easy to find their place and look at their schoolroom. But this is one of the Sudanese boys. Islamic soldiers found four boys. They were looking for food. They knew they were hiding in the field. They lit the field on fire. Three of the boys got away. This boy was burnt. Not to death, but burnt. And I can tell you, I think I could tell you 50 stories in 1 hour of torture that's gone on to the Sudanese. And you know what? I think it's almost the story of the Holocaust again. We know what's going on, and no one cares about stopping it. Recently in Cairo, because the Sudanese are dark black, people from Cairo are lighter brown. There's a tremendous prejudice there. And so we took the bus. Next picture. This is the street. Can you imagine taking a tour bus down here? But this is the only place that they would allow us to have a school for the Sudanese. Now, why do we have a school there? Because you see, the Sudanese are African, and Cairo's in Africa, and so they have to open the doors to them. But these Sudanese will not go to the public schools, because the public schools in Egypt are Islamic. And these people are Christians. And so we're training all kinds of people that have fled out of Sudan. We're training doctors and pharmacists and everyone to go back and to be teachers and to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, and also the Bible. Several days after our visit, one of our students was shot, killed, because they were mad because Americans were giving them food. Okay. Several months ago, the Sudanese principal was shot in the back 5 times in Cairo, Egypt. And they said they thought he was stealing things. Huh. He had money, medicine, and food given to Sudanese to the students, and they shot him in the back 5 times. Okay, I mean, what's going on is absolutely incredible. But here's the bright side of it: we can point to probably 30 or 40 or 50 young people that are not only have come to Christ, some of them were believers before we met them, have come to Christ and have determined to go back and to be missionaries back in Sudan to people that are undergoing incredible persecution. I'm talking about kids that are 14, 15, 16 years old. They are evangelists plus. And so pray for the work going on there. Every day there's a battle. And I was talking to Sharon and she says, you know, all day long we're at the school. And then at night, all day long, the phone rings, the emails come. And she says, every day there's a crisis. And there is. You want to know why? Because the devil never lets up. And don't think I'm discouraged. You know what? I think Jesus is coming so soon that I think I can battle the whole day. If I got to battle 24 hours today, I'm going to do it because I think Jesus is going to come before the day's done. And if he doesn't, I'm going to catch a nap and then I'm going to go at him again tomorrow. And I'm not big enough to take him on, but my God is bigger than the devil. And so, wow, I think this is one of the most exciting things. Next one. Matter of fact, my son, I don't think her picture's there. My son has five boys. Okay. You don't know how bad I want a girl. I want a girl so bad if I could just have a girl, little granddaughter, I think I could spoil her beyond belief. And so he was there and he fell in one of these little Sudanese girls. And man, I thought I was going to get me a granddaughter, but I couldn't get her out of Egypt. This is right in front of the school. It's easy to find because the school is above a meat market. And so there's the meat. So you can always get fresh meat there. Meat. I shouldn't say fresh. Because you want me to move that slide on? Okay. I go back. Oh, okay. Now, let's go to Burma. And that's another grandson of mine. And you know, this little guy, Zach, in their house, they speak 4 languages. Now, I'm a language idiot. Okay, I speak only English. All the countries I'm in, I can only speak English. My daughter speaks 6 languages. My son-in-law speaks 7. Okay, the only language they have in common is English. Otherwise, her languages don't match any of Zama's languages. And Zach speaks 4. Because every day at their table, his adopted brothers, they speak a language. His father speaks a language. The driver and a nanny speaks a language. And his mama speaks a language. And so I come there and so I try to learn some words to confuse Zach. But Zach, when he sees you, he's going to size up what language you know and he's going to give you that language and that's it. And so that's a little Zach. And they call Burma the golden land with a golden opportunity. And you know what it is? It is a golden land. But it's a disaster, a total disaster. And you know what? I didn't bring some of the pictures I want to show you. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm gonna pass around some things. This is, I'm gonna tell you a little bit about food in Burma. I'm gonna tell them about food in Burma. Okay. No, you'll like this because rice used to be about $6 or $7 a bag. Right now, it's about $12 to $15 a bag because they had a cyclone. Now, when the cyclone came, everyone knew the cyclone was coming. But the Burmese only get 2 channels, both of them run by the government. And so when they saw the cyclone coming, the United States Embassy came to Pam and Zama's door, on the door twice, knocked saying, the cyclone's coming, you got to get ready. So they called school off because they said the cyclone's going to come. And when the cyclone didn't come at the exact hour that they said it was going to come, they said, that's U.S. propaganda, it's probably not going to come. They went out into the streets and disaster occurred. 250,000 people died or are missing to this hour. 250,000 people. Okay? The U.S. government was so concerned, they went twice to warn one family, Pam's family, that this was coming. And the Burmese government did not give a single alert, even of a storm. Now, do you see the difference of these governments? I mean, it's incredible. So food now is rare because it destroyed the rice paddies. And so rice is now 2 or 3 times higher. The reason I mention the price of it, because if you're a medical doctor, you make about $25 to $30 a month. Okay, if you drive a truck, you make about $40. Yeah, you make more money driving a truck than you do as a medical doctor. Now, you can always buy food on the street. And so here's a picture. And if you look, I wish I had it because that's grasshoppers. And so you get a little rice and you fry those grasshoppers. That doesn't sound so bad. It really doesn't. And you put them in that bowl. And then here's one. I'm going to show you the picture of it, but I've never tried it because this one. Oh, man, you would like this one because this is a fondue. Out on the street, there's a fondue. And what's being fondued here, if you look at it real close, it's gray. It's about this long. It has a tail. They take a stick and they just put the stick up the rectum and then they put it into the fondue pot and you cook it. You eat the crisp part and then you put it back in and cook the rest. I will start this over here. Okay. And there's other food items there. The people of Burma. There's 136 different people groups. Okay. There's over 40 languages in Burma. Okay. And so these were some of the people groups. And among those that's really incredible are the long neck people. Matter of fact, we're working. I have 16 schools in Burma. Over half of which I've never been to. I couldn't go to because of the color of my skin. Some of them, the only way to get into them is by elephant. And we've actually had people deliver Bibles and curriculum to the village by elephant to get in there. I mean, it's fantastic. And this government is so cruel that they try to wipe out every trace of the gospel. And the more they try to wipe it out, the more people want to read it. And I'll tell you what, you can go out there in the middle of Yangon when the government says you cannot give out literature. And all you got to do is say, this is free literature about Jesus Christ. And you say that, and I promise you, I can get rid of 500 Gospel of Johns in 5 minutes or maybe less. You see, the more they try to wipe out the gospel, the more precious it becomes. And so here are some of the people groups. And among those are the long neck people. You know what I'm talking about? They put a ring on their neck and they stretch their neck up so that if you pull the ring off, their neck muscles have atrophied so bad that their head would just bob down. Okay, but we actually have kids in Bible school that know the habits of this and the language of that, and they're right now doing the Book of Daniel among the long neck people. I tell you, I think about that and it just thrills me, because you see, this dictator is absolutely so cruel that recently, according to Prayed Magazine, I think you all get Prayed Magazine here. It's a national. Do you all get this in your? Okay. Prayed Magazine last week, or maybe the week before, I can't remember, March 22nd, a couple weeks ago, they ranked the world's 10 worst dictators. And every year, the general in Burma is among them. He's fourth this year. And I mean, he's a case. He was so convinced the United States, he told his people this, that as soon as America's done wiping out Iraq, they're going to come after Burma. Was that high on your list of countries to wipe out? And he says, we know that their Navy is good. And we know their Air Force is good, but we think our Army can take them. Okay, I've seen their Air Force. They have two planes. Okay, one, I've never seen it move in 8 years. It's there. It's I don't think you could taxi it. Okay, I've seen their Navy. It's a joke. Okay. And so he moved the capital from Yangon. He moved it 150 miles away. He took all kinds of people. I mean, if you're a man anywhere from 10 years old up to whatever age, and they need laborers, they just come and they get you, and you've got to leave your job for at least a month and come and do their work. They cleared a whole path in the jungle. They built a new palace. I mean, this is incredible. And many of the men who go there never return. I mean, that you're talking about a dictator that's just a tyrant. He didn't take any of the things from the other palace and took it. He's building it brand new. He wouldn't even use them. They have jade and marble there. I mean, it's incredible what they've got. He brought in all marble from Italy. He has jade columns. I think there's over 100, 140 or 150 of them. Huge jade columns that are spectacular. He had them all built new. He has 50 or 60 luxurious cars. His own kids. It's incredible what they... He has millions and millions of dollars. And the people are at poverty. He's quite a treat. Well, anyway, here are the people of Burma. And I'll pass that around because it's just wonderful to see the diversity of people. But the tough thing is trying to get everything available in terms of literature. We're working primarily now in six languages. But there's such a need. And I meant to bring, I wish I could show you. Oh, yeah, maybe I can. This is actually the Burmese language. And by the way, you can buy every other day, you can buy 2 gallons of gas. And sometimes we have a driver not to drive us places, but we have a driver to wait in line for gas. Because sometimes you wait the whole day on your day for gas to get your 2 gallons, and you may not get there by midnight. That's how long the line is. And so if so, you don't get any gas. It's a wonderful system. So here's the lineup for gas. And this is the language, that's the written language of Burma. I'll show you, it's a system of circles. I'm not smart enough to figure it out, but on the inside of this little insert, this is after the hurricane, after the cyclone. But you'll see, here's dead animals in the water, and they butcher them. Yeah, for food. And you just take a look inside. Metal is so precious there. Among the things we're bringing in medicine, diarrhea. And when I say hundreds of people are dying because of diarrhea, because the water is just incredible. So we have a whole project just in bringing water filters in. Where do you begin? The government restricts you to 4 nails. So when you go, you can buy 4 nails at a time. That's it. 4 nails is the maximum you can buy. We have a little project going on right now at the school called Ultimate Makeover. And we have a house. The rats are so large that we had a cage and it wasn't capable of catching the rat. And I'm not kidding when I say there, I think the cage is a foot long. Couldn't catch the rat. That's how big the rat was. And if you think that's bad, here's a related picture. This is in Cambodia. They're trapping rats to sell to Vietnam. Right now, kids can make more money catching rats than you can working a job, because rats are worth 2 or 3 cents a piece, and the rats are so plentiful that you can catch enough rats to make a living. I'll start this one over here. I don't think she's going to have much appetite for dinner tonight. So I'll pass this one around. This shows the path of the cyclone and so on. But we're going to see some of this firsthand. Now, the video, and I'll show you where Burma is. Wow, do you know what it's like to be in this body and not be able to remember one thing that's going on? It's just terrible, isn't it? Matter of fact, I still drive and pull into a house that we owned before this last one I lived in. Because I'm driving and I just go back there automatically. And then I realize, what am I going to do? And so the neighbors all come out, look, and I wave at them. And they think I'm the friendliest guy in the world. But it's just that I forgot I don't live there anymore. So here's Thailand. And here is here's Bangkok, and here is Yangon, and the cyclone came across right across here, but Burma goes all the way up here on the Indian border. We're working out here in Mandalay. We have some really wonderful young people, evangelists, that are out in this area. But most of what we're doing is right in this area of Yangon. Okay, let's take a look at the. At the video. This video is in an unusual format. After the cyclone, at first the Burmese government said about 24 people have died. Okay? It's ridiculous. So these young men got on a motorcycle, went across the country and filmed this and sent it out. And so, got to remember, this is a tropical place, and by the time it's done, it's stripped to where it just looks unbelievable. And the people are in a state of shock. There's hardly any leaves on trees. whole villages. Matter of fact, in the Delta area, we have a village of which there was an assembly of about 30 or 40 people. We have yet to find one single soul from that assembly. They're completely gone. Okay? And so this is the people. This is about 24 hours after the cyclone, and they're living in blankets. They're beaten to a pulp, and they're in boats. It was unbelievable. How do you live when everything is destroyed? Families are you can't find family members. Those are dead cows. You can only imagine the disease that's in the water that those people are walking through. And the boats were lined up, literally lined up by the hundreds. And still at this point, the government was saying that about 24 people lost their lives. Now, do you have a way to drag that forward in time a little bit? And okay, let's see if we can drag it forward.
Maybe not.
Okay. If not, maybe just put it on fast. Do you have a way to show fast forward? Okay. That's okay.
It doesn't have a fast forward.
Okay, we'll. That's okay. We got a couple minutes of that, so we'll go ahead and do it. I show you this because what I want to do is in a minute I want to show you that the school was hit. Trees were destroyed, and the trees there are huge because it's tropical, and. We began issuing water pots. Someone came up with a little water filter made out of a pot and a bucket. And the biggest problem really was water. We could get rice to people. But if the government caught you giving out aid, you could be arrested. A movie star, a Burmese movie star, was caught dispensing items out of his own vehicle and was put in prison. Okay, now this is what you call a cruel government. Okay, the government said if the people have any need, the government is sufficient to meet that need. Okay, and so how do you dispense medicine and food and building supplies? And so you have to be extremely careful. But it wasn't long until people knew, okay, you can go to the school. It's called STEP, serving through educational programs, and food would be given. Didn't matter who you were, food would be given. And then we decided, you know what, we're going to paint the school. We're going to rebuild the school back better than it ever was. And so when it was all said and done, the government came back and gave us. Now that's a body lying there. And these guys are just filming this. OK, I showed it to ABC News and ABC News had an absolute total fit. Because you can talk about all the humanitarian things you want to. But when you can go through an area, and if you were to watch this entire section, I think you'll count several thousand dead bodies. And at this point, they acknowledge about 20 to 24 people are dead. I mean, how do you have a government that cruel? How can you go down a river and see body people, body parts, lying there? You know what I say? I look at this and I say, you know what? I think that government, for not warning those people, in some way it ought to be. You talk about a sanction by the United Nations. Somewhere someone's got to say something. The only person that has had the guts to say anything is Laura Bush. Thank God for her. But the more I watch this, you know what I decided? I decided this. That if I don't tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm worse than that governor. You want to know why? Because when these people died, they only died physically. But if I don't tell people about the judgment of God, you know what? I allow them to go to hell. And I'm more cruel than that dictator. And that's why, you know what? I feel a tremendous responsibility to tell people about Jesus Christ. Because I know judgment's coming. I know that the Word of God is true. I know what the Bible says is taking place before my very eyes. And if I don't tell people, then I'm not a suitable watchman. And God has called us to be watchmen on the wall. And so this is one little segment of this. And it goes on and on. The young men who did this video, I don't know them personally. But they were just so enraged they thought no one was coming to help them. Little did they know that people tried to help. And you realize that the Burmese government refused the help of other nations. It's not that no government would help. They refused the help of other nations. And so here are people literally by the hundreds out there. This is one little segment out there. I mean, this is just them riding in a small boat across there. And here are the people. And how can you live with that? You know what? It doesn't matter to them. As long as they can live more comfortably, they're perfectly willing to face that type of a situation. Oh, wow. To this hour, it gets to me when I think about that. Okay, let's go to, I'm sorry. Let's do it. Track two, yeah. And what does that say on time? Now let's try track two. It might be track four that I want. Let's just look at track two for a minute. And I may have you jump real quick to four. They're pouring water and food into bags. The people had to feed themselves. The government refused any aid. It's set on the runways and rotted. And notice again, there's no leaves on the trees. And okay, let's go to track four, and track four is, I think, an unusual scene. I hope I've got the track right, but in track four, this is one of the villages, and it's become famous among as we've appealed to the world. And even our congressmen are not willing to get involved. Because you see, being a friend of Burma doesn't win you any votes. And so here is a film, and this one is called The Wall of Death. And in this village, as you can see, the cyclone did its work. Many of the houses are substandard. One of the people that we're talking about for this Oldman house, their house is made out of crates and cardboard. And it cannot stand even another monsoon season. And so as you look at this twisted material, remember, these are not professional photographers. These are just two guys on the back of a motorbike. Here's a guy, he's been out collecting metal because it's almost impossible to get metal. As we bring metal into the country, we can only bring maybe 100 sheets or 200 sheets at a time. We could sell them for $100 a piece. Okay, if you want to make money. But what we do is we say, you know what, we'll give this to you. Okay, if you won't say who gave it to you. And we give them bread and we give them water. And but I mean, this village is repeated 1,000 times over. And as you begin to dig down through the debris, then you find out that it's not just buildings and houses that have been destroyed, but it's families. that have been destroyed and lives that have been destroyed. Unfortunately, the government says that Burma is about 96% Buddhist. I think their figures are slightly wrong. I think that maybe it's about 85% Buddhist and there's about 2% Muslim. And there may be as much as 10% Christian, but they hate to admit that because, to be honest, the gospel looks really good in a country where it's this dark when the rulers are this cruel. And as these young men continue to climb through the debris, before long they begin to discover that there are people that never escape the storm. And so this is the aftermath of what's called Cyclone Nargis.